Welcome to DIY Portland. This is the show that explores the vast array of do-it-yourself projects going on in Portland. This is the second edition of the show, and we're hoping it'll become a habit here on the Thursday Radio Zine. I'm Julie, and today I have with me Tim Calvert.
Hello.
Hi, Tim. Tim has been involved with DIY businesses in Portland for many years. He's the co-founder of nonprofit Laughing Horse Books on Division, and he also helped make City Bikes a worker-owned cooperative. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for rushing here at the last minute.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, why don't you start off a little by telling us about the collective businesses you've helped get off the ground?
Well, it started with Laughing Horse Books back in 1985, and I was involved with a, several students at in schools here in Portland, and we were doing Alert for Latin America guerrilla theater about the Central American situation. And we got together and realized that what we really needed to move this culture forward were more radical bookstores. And the five of us got together and decided to go for it and put together a bookstore. And there had been other bookstores in Portland, but some of the more kind of general left-wing bookstores were basically closing. And so we felt we needed to revive that tradition. And so we did. And it's been going since 1985. And then in 1990, the bookstore has never been a big money-making venture. It's always been a political project. So I needed work. And in 1990, I got a job at City Bikes. It was called City Bikes then. And we bought out the owner and turned it into a worker-owned cooperative so that all of the workers there could be owners and have some stake in it.
Cool. So, and Laughing Horse is also collectively owned, isn't that right?
It is collectively owned, yes. It's when you start getting into incorporating projects, you have a wide range of potential incorporation strategies, from nonprofits to worker-owned cooperatives to all these kind of hybrid arrangements, and Laughing Horse falls into kind of one of those more hybrid arrangements because there wasn't as much stakeholder issue as there is in the books bike shop, where everyone who becomes an owner also has to buy into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at City Bikes, do you teach people how to fix their own bikes too?
We have classes, and we have a fairly accessible do-it-yourself stand, especially at our repair shop. There's also another shop in town that also offers instruction. There are actually several shops in town that have begun to offer instruction for people to work on their own bikes themselves. We definitely encourage it.
Mm-hmm. And how does Laughing Horse contribute to people producing rather than consuming and sort of doing it themselves?
Well, I think in terms of doing it yourself, the real strength of Laughing Horse Books that kind of specialize in two things. One is, in addition to the books on organizing and running things by consensus or any other way for that matter, we have a meeting space which is very available to the community. People can call us up, especially if they're in the a progressive wing of politics here in Portland, and arrange to meet at the bookstore, and we don't usually charge any money for that. And so we offer our space as a place for other groups to begin to self-organize and create projects. And then we also do book tables at events, so we try to take information to other events that are going on, so it's not just our space either.
So people are reading about these political ideas, and then they can actually do some organizing right there in the bookstore.
That would be the ideal scenario.
That's great. So why Portland? Why is Portland a good place to do a business like that?
Well, we talked earlier about that, and I've been thinking about that question for a week or so. And I don't know. I cannot contrast completely with that many other cities. I'm from Eugene, and then I moved here. And so I haven't been to other West Coast cities or other cities with their own traditions. I just know in Portland and in Oregon in general, there's been a real long tradition of doing it yourself. My grandparents were very involved in the Odd Fellows, which is a fraternal organization. There are a lot of old fraternal organizations out there, the Masons, the Odd Fellows, the Elks. There are a bunch of these. And these were some of the very earliest kind of self-help groups. I know that the Odd Fellows were Protect the Orphans and Bury the Dead, because both of those services were not provided for by the government at all. And so people across the country, but in Oregon as well, began to organize themselves to take care of those social service needs that were not being met by the society at large. Also in Oregon, we had, as a matter of fact, in Milwaukee, Oregon, there was a group of people, kind of Seth Llewellyn and the Hendersons, all these people, they were these orchardists who had come from the Midwest, and they were very free-thinking, and they were involved in Oregon politics and realized that a book had come out of Switzerland about the initiative referendum process, and they, on their own initiative, produced these books and distributed them in Oregon and got the initiative referendum measure passed here in Oregon. So it goes way back in terms of people self-organizing and taking it on themselves. And, you know, that's also true with both the bike industry and the book industry in this town. I mean, there have been old radical bookstores going way back in Portland. And the bike industry has also been really far back in Oregon. So when we do these things ourselves, in some ways they're kind of new ideas, but in some ways we're just completely following down a path that's been put out there for a long time. I mean, I think about the Saturday market. I remember when the Saturday market started in Eugene, it was a very big deal. I mean, it was kind of the new wave that allowed people to begin to really produce their own stuff and sell it among each and kind of get it validated by the larger city structure. So there's been a long tradition of it.
Yeah. And I guess Eugene and Portland have kind of been partners in that for some time.
I don't fully know what their institutional relationship is. I don't know if they're even connected, but and they have different flavors too. I don't know if you've been to the Saturday market in Eugene much, but it's definitely got a slightly different kind of tone to it than the one here in Portland. But yeah, the Valley has been a pretty integrated political scene for quite a while.
Yeah. And what are some of the barriers to DIY businesses here in Portland?
Well, I think people need to be able to take on projects that they can follow through on. And I think for a lot of people, there's been this, I mean, we talked about this earlier as well. There's a lot of forces in this culture that work against do-it-yourself stuff. And, you know, the deeper we go into this kind of post-capitalist world where the multinationals control more and more of the economy, where big box stores control huger and huger shares of the economy, their total goal is conformity and consumerism and sleep. You know, they want passive people to just be going through their turnstiles, making them money. Their vision of who the humans are really not very much far away from their vision of any other element of their production chain. There's a real soullessness to what's happening in modern capitalism, and there are representatives here in Portland of that kind of soul-sucking, alienated economy. They represent themselves in the form of PGE and Enron, the Oregonian, some of these other, the Portland Business Alliance, the people who want to really take power and influence away from the people and keep it in a very homogenous, uniform approach. Those people are actually working strongly against do-it-yourself movements. And one of the ways they do it insidiously is they alienate people from each other, and they're not able to cooperate on a close level. You know, for instance, when you do these projects, you need to conserve your resources. You know, you've got to be able to live with someone else. You've got to be able to live with even more and more people over a long period of time so that you can consolidate your resources to do these other projects. You've got to have more solidarity with more people. That's what has to happen. And in this culture right now, there's a real tendency to not have solidarity with other people. And I mean, when I say solidarity with other people, it can start with just one other person. I mean, even living with just one other person, one other adult, you can pool your resources and move forward on a level that you can't if you're living by yourself. And so I guess one of the barriers is people not being able to cooperate with each other and really learn how to tolerate each other and learn how to act in solidarity with each other.
Mm-hmm. And what about city government in Portland? Is city government pretty supportive, do you think, of DIY businesses and collective businesses?
It can be. And it can be a burden. You know, both of the businesses I'm involved with are inside the city of Portland. And, you know, in the right-wing papers like the Oregonian, they talk about, oh, we can't stand it here. We've got to leave town. We've got to go somewhere else. I mean, there are definitely taxes that you have to deal with. I mean, the signboard tax, all these other little taxes that you have to accomplish. But on the other hand, I think the city government has really been trying to, at least in theory, level the playing field among different businesses. And therefore, that means that by leveling the playing field, it gives the do-it-yourself smaller businesses a leg up as compared to the big box soul-sucking corporations that lurk waiting to take the market share away. I mean, Walmart, you know, what is Walmart? Walmart's this large corporation that really wants to bankrupt every other business in its way. And Portland and the surrounding suburbs, frankly, I just heard that Oregon City booted them yet again from their efforts to build one down in Oregon City. I know that in Selwood there's anti-Walmart stickers everywhere. There's no desire whatsoever to see a Walmart built on Tacoma and McLaughlin. So merely by encouraging local businesses even a little bit, it helps build them up. And a lot of times, you know, the small business person won't realize that the overall structure is more helping them than hindering them. I mean, because, you know, when your business is bad and you can't make the payments, that's what you notice. It's harder to step back. It's harder to realize that, you know, it's this whole kind of cultural streetscape that has to be created for your business or any other street business to thrive. So on the balance, I would say that the city of Portland, especially right now with Potter and Adams and Leonard and Sten and all these people, not Saltzman, they're doing great. And, you know, I want to put in a plug for the voter-owned elections, which...
It's a DIY project
right
there.
It's a total DIY project. And I had a guy who, the business manager of a new guy who said he was going to do it. And I said, well, listen, you know, if you're going to run for mayor and you're going to ask, or city council, and you're going to ask me to give you $5, you better tell me how you stand on PGE and the PUD. And, oh, he didn't know. And I said, well, you know, you're not going to get my $5. So, yeah, it's a great project, and, you know, I think the battle is joined right now, and I feel like it's a really excellent opportunity for people to begin experimenting with all sorts of different business concepts and going for it, because really now is the moment. I mean, if the economy tanks, it'll be much harder.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask how the culture has changed in terms of supporting these kinds of businesses since Laughing Horse opened in 1985.
Well, I mean, it's been a little mixed. You know, like I said, there are these forces that are draining the ability of people to act in solidarity with each other. And we've been struggling against that. And I wish I could say that we're totally winning. You know, but the advent of the internet and the entire way that's changed the way people buy things has definitely impacted retailers like bookstores in general. You know, a lot of used bookstores, they've completely gone to internet-based marketing. We haven't done that. You know, we haven't, like, chased this whole new paradigm of retailing, and that hasn't really worked to our favor. I think people are getting trained more and more not to necessarily go visit these smaller businesses, and so I think the antidote to that is to create stronger sense of community and community-oriented events and habits that will redirect people back into helping their fellow Portlander by buying from them directly rather than buying from, the soul-sucking capitalist corporation Walmart.
Yeah. And we were talking a little bit about how these kinds of businesses, sustainable, do-it-yourself, collectively owned businesses, are political in some way, and that not only is buying from them political and that you're choosing to vote with your dollars, you're buying from local businesses rather than from big corporations, but the businesses themselves and the way they're run is a form of political resistance. Can you speak to that?
Well, I mean, this just gets back to the whole concept of people cooperating with each other, and that is a form of political resistance because the powers that be don't want you to cooperate with each other. They don't want you to cooperate outside of their channels. So when people form partnerships or cooperatives or collectives, they're creating basically another little tribe, and this tribe stands apart from this large empire that is working diligently day and night to make sure no one actually joins these other little tribes. So it is that, and that's where people learn how to work with each other. Now, unfortunately, I wish I could say that I was totally the magic bullet and that's all they had to do, and they like understand politics better and vote out these rascals and, you know, support the projects that need to be supported. But it doesn't necessarily work out that way. I mean, you know, doing-it-yourself projects can be as much as gathering bottles out of the recycling can when you're homeless. I mean, the reality is people turn to do-it-yourself projects both out of this kind of higher level of consciousness and also out of desperation. So there's no guarantee about how one's view of the world will be shaped simply because they're doing a do-it-yourself project.
That's true. That's true. It takes a certain consciousness, I guess. I also wanted to ask a last question. How can people support do-it-yourself businesses other than, of course, buying from them? But what kinds of things do we need to watch out for? Do we need to definitely support or reject in terms of supporting these businesses?
Well, I think just encouraging these businesses in general, I mean, obviously the most concrete way is to buy things from them. The most concrete thing, I mean, voting with your dollar is so much more substantial than voting with a ballot or just raising your hand or whatever. I mean, it really means something to individuals when you buy something from them. I mean, it makes the entire thing go forward. And so in addition to buying things from your local merchants, it's an excellent opportunity to talk with them and encourage them along. I mean, I think the building of the community in those transactions, beyond it being just an economic transaction, is really important. I mean, when people come into the bike shop or the bookstore, basically I talk politics all the time. I mean, I'm talking about what's going on in this community all the time, and I make it a point to talk to customers and people who come in, whether they're buying or not, about these things. And I think customers should raise political awareness by not being scared to talk about politics with your shopkeeper, with your local bike mechanic, with your bookstore operator. I mean, politics, by communicating about politics in these spaces, that's the sort of thing that a Nordstrom's or a Walmart or a Fred Meyer, they don't want any politics going on their land. You know, kick those petitioners off. You know, we don't want you people organizing out there. But in the smaller, locally owned businesses, all that is possible. So, you know, organize yourselves, people. That's what I want to leave it off with.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. You've been listening to DIY Portland. It's a new show on KBOO's Thursday Radio Zine. If you like the show, please call us 503-231-8032, extension 202. That's 503-231-8032, extension 202. I'm Julie, and today I've been speaking with Tim Calvert about DIY businesses in Portland. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much, Julie.
Laughing Horse Books is on 36th and Division, that's right?
3652 Southeast Division, actually on the corner of 37th.
37th and Division. And City Bikes has two locations on Southeast Ankeny.
Yes, one's on 734 Southeast Ankeny, right across here, kitty corner from KBOO. So an excellent place to hang out. This little intersection here is turning into a little hot spot.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got the IWW and the Back-to-Back Cafe and Grendel's and all great businesses right in this neighborhood. And our other shop, 1914 Southeast Ankeny, have been a bike shop for like 35 years. A great community resource and also in a dynamic neighborhood up there.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot. That's all the time we have. Stay tuned for Press Watch, and Teresa Mitchell will tell you all the news you're not supposed to know. Good morning. You are listening to the Thursday Morning Radio Zine for February 16th. This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. And at 10, Carlos Chavez will host Chicanismo. This is a pilot for the new program with guest Ramon Ramirez, president of PACUN, to talk about immigration legislation and a new report that was released on Tuesday titled, In Our Own Words, Immigrants' Experiences in the Northwest. We'll also have an interview with film producer Moctezuma Esparza. At 10:30, Julie Bernard hosts Art Focus. Her guests will be local cartoonists Ryan Alexander Tanner and Alex Cahill, who are both included in the PNCA Comics Anthology, along with local artist Daniel Duford. And at 11, Democracy Now!, as it is every weekday here on KBOO. Coming up next, of course, Press Watch. Please stay tuned for that.